It's all four nations face off all the time. We've got interviews with Shea Theodore, Rasmus Anderson, Adrian Kempe, and Kyle Connor. Sean and I talk about all the teams and give some predictions. All coming up and more on this episode of the NHL At The Rink podcast.
NHL At The Rink is presented by Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL.
Welcome into another episode of the NHL At The Rink podcast. It's brought to you by Skip. Skip to the good part and get groceries, meals, and essentials delivered right to your door on Skip. We are not at the rink. We're at the hotel, but we are on the road in Montreal. The Four Nations face off finally, and this is, Sean, in the words of many around here, finally gets underway tonight, Wednesday night, at Bell Center, Canada and Sweden on the ice. It's been a long time coming. We've promoted it. We've talked about it. The players, Sean, are all in on this tournament. I can't wait to sit up in the press box at Bell Center and finally catch a game in this.
It's going to be fantastic. And you know how I know it's going to be fantastic?
How do you know?
Sidney Crosby said this morning that he was going to get chills. Sidney Crosby, the most decorated hockey player of our generation, multiple Olympics, World Cup, said he will get chills tonight for this game against Sweden. So if he's going to get chills, I might jump right out of my skin.
Yeah, it's true. Just don't jump out of the press box, all right? At the Bell Center, it's a gondola. It kind of hangs over. You jump out. It could ruin the tournament if you do that, all right? So don't do that. You could jump out of your skin.
I'm going to be too busy eating shin show, dude.
Hot dogs. Hot dogs at the Bell Center. Listen, hey, I got to tell you, the reaction from the players over the course of time that we've been here so far has just, it's been exactly what I expected. They are all in on this tournament. This is not something that they're showing up to because they made a team and they're supposed to. They're wearing their country's colors. They're playing for national pride. They're playing for international dominance, for international bragging rights, to set up who might be the favorite at the Olympics 1 year from now. There is a lot on the line here. I fully expect when the puck drops tonight between Canada and Sweden that this is not a wading into a tournament, that this is not a let's figure it out. This is like Team North America on steroids. This is what it's going to be. Fast, in your face, breakneck speed, just going to be terrific hockey. And that's the vibe I get from these players, Sean. Like, they are so excited for this. They're chomping at the bit to get out there.
So we're doing player blogs, one for each country. And Mikael Granlund is doing the blog for Finland. And I asked him yesterday about this tournament. And he said, I cannot stop smiling. Mm-hmm. I don't know how to explain it to you, but I cannot stop smiling. I am so happy. Part of the reason he was happy was because I caught him 5 minutes earlier talking to Teemu Selanne with Mikko Rantanen. You want to talk about a little collection of talent right there. And Michael Granlund was Teemu Selanne's line mate in Sochi. It was his first international experience.
Yeah, okay.
And now here he is as the graybeard. But he's like, I'm with my countrymen. This means so much for us. I cannot stop smiling. I am so happy.
Yeah.
That's universal. Sidney Crosby's happy. Connor McDavid's happy. The Tkachuk brothers are over the moon. Everybody's happy. Until the puck drops tonight, and then nobody's happy.
Well, that's what you hope, right? That's what you expect. And listen, we're happy. We were able to talk to a bunch of players. Yesterday, Tuesday, was media day. And we got a bunch of interviews that we're going to play for you that we did. Some quick ones. We talked to Shea Theodore from Canada. We talked to Adrian Kempe and Rasmus Anderson, both from Sweden. And Kyle Connor, the American who plays for the Winnipeg Jets. He also joins us for this podcast. So all of that is coming up. But Sean, Canada's on the ice tonight against Sweden. And obviously, here we are. We're in Montreal. The pressure is on. Nathan MacKinnon admitted it. These guys, they relish in that pressure. And Nathan MacKinnon said, yeah, there's a lot of pressure. But you love pressure. You want the pressure. It means when you have pressure, it means you're doing something important. But the pressure's on Canada to stay at the top of the heap, right? I mean, they've won 25 straight games in best-on-best international, in international, not just best-on-best, in international tournament that Sidney Crosby has played in. He's playing against Sweden. There was some concern over his injury, but he's in. They want to stay at the top. They have Jordan Binnington in net, and maybe that's where we start, right? I mean, the goaltending question has been answered. It's Jordan Binnington. But it hasn't been answered, right? Now Binnington has to answer it for the entire nation and all of Hockey Canada that he's the guy and he can carry this team to another win in a best-on-best. And if he can't do it tonight, you'll see Aiden Hill in Canada's next game, right, against the U.S. on Saturday.
Well, Dan, first of all, we share something amazing in common, you and I.
What is that?
We saw the last time that Sidney Crosby lost the hockey game.
We did. We were there. That's right. 2010.
So, sitting right next to each other in Canada Place, because that's what it had to be called. It
couldn't
be called GM Place, which is what it was at the time, I believe. But, it's Jordan Binnington. And I spent some time talking to Colton Pareko this morning after the morning skate, you know, and he's like, I don't need to defend this guy. Like, somebody asked, well, what about all the fans in Canada who are nervous that there's no Marty Brodeur, there's no Roberto Luongo, there's no Patrick Waugh. And he's like, I don't have to defend this guy. I play with him every day. He's a big game goalie. He knows what he's going to do out there, and he's going to go do it, and he'll show everybody. There wasn't much separating these three goalies. I don't think you could go wrong. But I do think that it's Canada's weakest position. And I also think that the role for Team Canadian goalie for a long time, not to put anything down about any of them that have won, is to not let up that bad goal.
Right.
That's all they have to do. They don't have to make a huge save. They just can't let bad goals in. And I'm curious whether Binnington can do that or not.
Well, I mean, and that was the, you know, John Cooper was asked about that too, about the goaltending for Canada. He said it's a team sport. You know, oftentimes when a goalie allows a goal, it's not necessarily on the goalie. It's on the three things that happened before the puck got to the net. And that's true. The difference in this tournament will be making the save. I think one of the differences in this tournament could be the goal among goalies is who makes the save they're not supposed to make. Or who doesn't allow the goal they're not supposed to give up. Right? Like that, and that kind of speaks to what you're saying. Don't allow the bad one. And you bring up Colton Pareko and saying what he said about Binnington, and I get it. I get it. He's a big game goalie because he's won. He's won game seven in the Stanley Cup final. That was in 2019. If he's such a big game goalie, Sean, why does he have a sub 900 save percentage this year? Why is his goals against average almost three? Why is he under 500? And again, it goes back to the team. The Blues that he plays for, they're probably around a 500 team, but he's under that. And that's the concern right now. He hasn't played all that well this season. So I understand it from Canada's perspective, the question of, you know, could you make you can interchange all these guys and Binnington and Hill and Montembeau, but did we make the right choice? I don't know. I mean, Binnington's got to prove it. He's the guy that all eyes are going to be on him tonight. I mean, yeah, everybody's going to be watching McDavid and Crosby and McKinnon and McCarr and all these guys through this tournament. But Canada's goaltending is going to be the one that's either praised or criticized the most.
Well, in St. Louis, Colton Pareko is Binnington's best defenseman.
Yeah.
For Canada, Colton Pareko fifth, if I'm being kind.
Okay, but they're not going up against four top lines, which they essentially are, you know, when they play Sweden on you know, tonight, Wednesday night.
Yeah, and look, I think the most interesting thing is going to be, and I thought the telling thing this morning was John Cooper talked about systems, right? He's like, I tried to run a two-week training camp in 2 days. And I hope I didn't overload the players. And I hope he didn't either, because I asked the several players that were made available this morning what they thought the mix of system and instinct was going to be. And they're like, yeah, we learned a lot of systems, but at some point it's going to be instinct. And that's when it's going to be beautiful. That's when nobody's worried about who's dropping back, who's the F1, and they start looking at each other and they're like, we're going to play hockey. Free, like we did when we were kids. You know, and Coop said, you know, you, as a coach, you want to put them in a place to succeed and then you want to get out of the way. That doesn't always happen in the NHL. It has to happen here. Let your horses go and watch the art.
Well, you have to, right? I mean, you absolutely have to because it's so short, right? It's so short. And from a coaching perspective, I'm going to find interesting as we veer a little bit away from the goaltending here. And again, we're going to have Shea Theodore from Canada, Vegas Golden Knights defenseman. He joined us. He'll be the first one up of our four interviews that we've got for you for this episode. That's in a couple of minutes. From a coaching perspective, for all the coaches in this, you know, and Cooper has spoken to this as well, you've got to be able to allow your guys to go and allow this to gel, but you have to have a quicker trigger, Sean, than you normally do in your NHL season, right? If a line's not working, your gut's got to tell you it right away, and you got to make the switch. You didn't have, as he said, we don't have training camp or five exhibition games. We don't have the first 10 games of the regular season to figure this out. They got here Monday. They were on the ice Monday, Tuesday, and then they had an optional morning skate against, you know, this morning, and that's it. Now we're rolling. So you absolutely have to let your horses go. You can't take the hockey player out, as he said, and put the systems in. They have to play within the systems that you give them, but you got to let them go, and you tweak it along the way. I think the coaching aspect of this is going to be also very interesting too, because, again, in the U.S. and Canada, you've got two NHL coaches, and in Finland and Sweden, you have two coaches that are not NHL coaches that are coaching NHL players. So I think that's going to be a little interesting to watch it as well.
I gotta correct you, Dan, and then we're going to get to Shea Theodore. Everybody got here Sunday.
All right, here it is. Listen, it took nine minutes. Maybe how producer, long have we been doing this? Ben, how long have we been doing it? No, I'm just kidding.
Maybe producer Ben Cook can dig up the audio from last week's podcast where my esteemed co-host said, don't worry, I'll be there. I'll be there for the first practice. I'm getting to Montreal on Sunday because I take my job seriously.
Whoa. I will be at practice on Monday. I have a 6:45 a.m. flight to Montreal. Just to point that out.
If it takes off. What practices did you go to on Monday, Dan?
I did not go to a single practice on Monday. I freely admit it, and I've been catching you know what about it since. Flight got canceled, rebooked, got here. Had some things we thought we were going to get done, didn't get done, didn't go to practice because of that. I'm trying to make up for it. I'm going to be trying to make up for it all tournament. I hope I can, Sean. I just hope I can.
At least you got to see a good football game, Dan.
No, that was a terrible football game. It was not good. Not at all. But I listen, I've been catching flack from it from everybody, so you made it public, and that's okay. I can handle it. I'm a big boy. I can handle this.
You know? Live with your decisions, Dan.
Live with your decisions. All right. Well, Shea Theodore had to be interviewed by the both of us, Sean, which can't be an easy thing to do, I would imagine, from his perspective. We enjoyed it. Hopefully he did. We joked about him being a listener to the podcast. He said daily. We told him it's a weekly podcast, but I think he's going to listen to this one. So the Canadian defenseman from the Vegas Golden Knights joined us, as did Adrian Kempe and Rasmus Anderson. Kyle Connor as well. All of those interviews will be coming up. They're all brought to you by Skip. Skip to the good part and get groceries, meals, and essentials delivered right to your door on Skip. First up, here's Shea Theodore. Shea, thanks for joining us. So just, you know, what does it mean for you to be here, to be a part of this event, and just wearing the colors you're wearing, representing Canada?
Yeah, you know, it means a lot, I think. You know, going back probably 10 years from the World Juniors was the last time, you know, I really played for for Team Canada, other than a World Championships, you know, at kind of a best on best level, you know, so it definitely brings it back. You know, there's a couple guys from that team that are on this team as well, and you know, it's just exciting to wear the jersey again and you know, compete in that aspect.
Can you explain what it's like to be in that locker room?
Yeah, it's cool. You know, really being with some of the best players, you know, in the world, especially on Team Canada. You know, it's something that guys don't get every day, and you know, it's good to kind of just be around some of those other guys, and you know, be on the ice is good, and you know, it just makes it fun and definitely different atmosphere.
I mean, you've been around a long time. You've won in the National Hockey League, but do you find yourself, when you're around the players that you're around here, being a little bit of a sponge too, and really getting some knowledge that, you know, learning things that maybe you didn't know?
For sure. You know, I think mainly some of that will come, you know, in game. I think that's probably when you're going to soak it up a lot. I think right now it's more trying to figure out the systems that we're playing. There's a lot of video and, but yeah, just kind of being a sponge, you know, in the room is going to be kind of a big key.
Can you explain what practice is like with this team, right? Because everybody's so good, the pace has to be blinding.
Yeah. You know, the pace is high. Obviously it's different, you know, in practice. You're not doing the same drills that you do all year. And, you know, it's next to impossible to, you know, find common drills. So we're just trying to, you know, really nail down the systems that we're playing, you know, what kind of D zone and forecheck and stuff like that. And, but yeah, the pace is high. There's a lot of speed coming through the neutral zone on those 3-on-2s. And, you know, it's definitely fun, but challenging.
Who, when you got named to this team, did you say, I can't wait to play with that guy? I mean, who was that guy?
I think, obviously, Crosby is probably going to be, you know, a common name for that. I was talking to Stones about it, and, you know, definitely special. Not a lot of guys get to play with him, you know, especially at a level like this, you know, for Team Canada. So definitely a big honor, and, you know, something I'm looking forward to.
So he's that guy. He's that guy for everybody, I'm sure. When you see him, you play against him. I mean, you play against him twice a year, right? But now you see him, you're a part of it, you see who he is and whatnot. John Cooper's talked about this, and he said, you just be around him, you know why the guy's a winner. Do you get that sense? What is your feeling when you're around him? Like, what do you watch? What are you noticing?
For sure. You know, I think the way that he carries himself, you know, is definitely important. I think I see a lot of his characteristics with Fleury, you know, that we had in Vegas for a couple of years, you know, another kind of superstar for a long time in this league. And you can kind of see how they carry themselves and how they, you know, represent. And, you know, it's good to be around, and definitely fun.
It's crazy to think that they were on the same team for a long time. What a blessing Pittsburgh had.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, those are two, you know, big names. I think when you think of the history of the league, you know, I think both those names are up there. And, you know, playing with Fleury was special for a couple of years, but I can definitely see, you know, some similarities there for sure.
Have you had much experience with Drew Doughty?
Other than being against him, nothing really.
Is he as big a character as he seems to be from the outside? Like the little bit that you get to see him as the media or whatever, you know, you kind of see this character guy. Clearly he cares about winning. He's won his whole life. But is he that guy in the locker room that just has everybody in stitches all the time?
I mean, yeah, it's only been a couple of days. But definitely from what I've heard is kind of what I've gotten and other guys have gotten. And, you know, we've played a lot of big games, you know, against each other, you know, in that Pacific Division. You know, he's been in LA for a long time. Yeah. He's played a lot of big games, and definitely fun to be on his side. And, you know, definitely as a D partner for sure.
So we've talked about this with some of the USA guys too, right? The idea that you guys are part of the now generation, but it's the next generation, right, too. Like, you haven't had a best on best. We haven't seen this, you know, 2016 World Cup, but you go back to the 2014 Olympics too. What is that like to be part of, it's the now generation, but yourself and Connor McDavid and several others, like Sid's still here, right? He's still a part of it. Drew's still here, still a part of it. But many of those guys, like I just saw Ryan Getzlaff, he was part of that generation. Now he's retired and he's part of the management team. What does it mean to you be a part of what is this generation of Canadian hockey and trying to match what the other ones have done in terms of paving this road for you?
For sure. It's definitely cool to be a part of it, especially with this tournament going on and, the Olympics coming up. I think you see what those guys have done at previous Olympics and, the success they've had, but kind of at the same time, the way they've carried themselves, with a lot of respect and a lot of pride wearing this jersey. And, it's funny to see some of those guys like Getzy kind of move on and, having Drew and Sid, be those veteran guys in this locker room, it's definitely special. And, hopefully trying to continue that.
All right. You mentioned the Olympics, so I want to bring it up. Sean would have if he was holding the microphone, but I have it, so I'll bring it up. It's a year from now, right? And this tournament is special and it matters and it's now. But does your mind wander to what is going to be going on a year from now? Am I going to be a part of that? Can I be a part of that? What do I have to do to be a part of that and what it would mean?
Yeah, I mean, I think this kind of tournament is definitely a stepping stone towards that. Obviously coming into this season, you want to play well for your team. Obviously making this team was a big step, but I think just proving to yourself in your game, that it's good enough to be on this level, and you always want your name to be in that conversation come Olympic time. Not an easy team to make by any means. So I'm definitely looking forward to this tournament, in terms of playing well and trying to solidify my name and my game in that conversation.
Is there a guy out there that you're really looking forward to go against? I know you go against everybody in the NHL, but again, this is different because they're dream lines, right? Like, you look at Canada's first line or first power play as a defenseman, I'm sure you don't want to go. You're glad you don't have to go against those.
I'm glad they're on our team. Yes.
But is there a line or a person at this high level that you're like, I can't wait to challenge myself against that one?
I mean, I think, having a couple Golden Knights on our team, guys that you get to play with, obviously everyone else is a visitor that you play against regardless. But I think, going up against Jack, it's going to be fun. It's going to be special. I think, he's a great player. He's a dominant player for our team in Vegas, and definitely going to be an interesting matchup, but one that I'm looking forward to, and hopefully have the better side of the kind of the bragging rights to it.
Who, when you were growing up, was your national team guy? Can't say Crosby. Who was the who was there a defenseman that you watched? I mean, like, who was like from Olympics you might have watched? Whatever it might be that you were like, you had his jersey, or he was just your guy.
I mean, growing up Canadian, I was always kind of a Canucks fan, but I think when you look at that 2010 Olympics, Scott Niedermeyer, being on that team, I think Drew was on that team as well. Yeah. So, I think a guy like Niedermeyer, the way he always carried himself, I think, he was a dominant player pretty much his entire career. So, definitely a guy that I watched, and, it's cool to kind of be in those similar circumstance now.
Well, great. Thanks so much for joining us. I really appreciate it. We really appreciate it. Good luck with the rest of the tournament.
Thank you guys very much. Appreciate it.
Good stuff there from Shea Theodore, the Vegas Golden Knights defenseman, Canadian defenseman. And Canada opens up against Sweden, as we mentioned. That game is tonight, Wednesday night at Bell Center, Sean. And I think Sweden doesn't get enough credit here. I think Sweden, we talk a lot about the U.S. and we talk a lot about Canada. Is the U.S. the favorite in this right now? Canada's got to remain on top of the heap of international hockey, best on best. Can the U.S. knock them off and be the first team, the U.S. team since 1996 to win a best on best tournament? But Sweden's lying in the weeds, Sean. This is a really, really good team. You look at their defense, it's loaded, okay? It's big, it's mobile, it's got winners, it's got veterans, it's got young guys. Hedman and Ekholm and Brodin and Dahlin and Carlson. I mean, it is just Forsling. It is a terrific defense. Up front, they may not have the elite top line that Canada has, right? Or at least, like, when you put Crosby and MacKinnon and Mark Stone together, then you put McDavid and Marner and Reinhardt together. But top, you know, four lines. I mean, this is a really deep team, Sean. It's a loaded team, and I don't think the Swedes are getting the level of respect according to the conversation that's had around this tournament. I think they could win this thing.
They like it that way.
Well, I know they do. Yeah,
they like it that way. They like coming into a building like the Bell Center, which is just going to be bazonkers, and they like playing the villain. So, you know, I thought their coach was amazing this morning. You know, the media covering this heavily Canadian. We're in a Canadian city.
There are some Swedes here, but yes, heavily Canadian. Yes.
And one of the questions in the press conference was, what do you do about Canada's first power play? Have you ever seen a collection of hockey players that are that good? Can they be stopped? And their coach said, well, we got some pretty good players.
Yeah, look at our team.
We got a plan. Yeah. That's it. End of conversation. No, they're this and that, and they're, oh, yeah, they're really good and blah, blah, blah. We got good players, and we got a plan. Maybe they don't. Maybe they get punched in the mouth and they don't get up. But I don't think so.
No, I don't. They have really good players. They have really good players. And they got good players that are going to be on their penalty kill when they have to be up, you know, going up against that elite group that Canada has. And that's okay. That's what this tournament is. You have best on best. That's what it's supposed to be. And I love the answer, too. And there's confidence there from Sam Hallam. And it's bleeding through his team, the Swedish national team. They're very confident. They know how good they can be. I got a question, though, for you. What do you think of the decision to start Filip Gustavsson over Linus Ullmark?
I love it. I think it's the right decision. I mean, he's been good all year. He's kind of had a little dip in form lately. Linus Ullmark's played two games.
Yep.
He didn't win either one of them. Didn't play overly well in either one of them. He didn't play bad. But you're going to take a guy who had a back injury, who's played two games, and you're going to throw him into complete and utter chaos. Like, you're talking probably, with that Canada team, you're probably talking 100 shot attempts because they're just unstoppable.
I like the decision too. I like that Linus Ullmark is here. Okay, let me put that out there. He's healthy enough. He's healthy. He's here. He should be here. He was picked for the team. I think if you went off of original roster, it was Jacob Markstrom would have been the one. Linus Ullmark probably would have been the two and Filip Gustavsson the three. That's probably the way it would have gone with the way you guys were playing. Ullmark hurt, out a while. Markstrom still hurt, so not here. Ullmark back. But you go with the guy who's been playing the whole time. And Gustafson's numbers with the Minnesota Wild, and I know they've dipped a little bit lately, but they've dipped since they've lost Kaprizov. They also didn't have Brodin for a while. They didn't have Spurgeon for a while. They don't have Ryan Hartman now because he's hurt, right? So his numbers dipped a little bit when they lost some of their best players. But he's still got a .915 save percentage and a .263 goals against average and 37 starts this season. Those are really good numbers. In fact, they're better than Jordan Binnington's numbers. They're way better than Jordan Binnington's numbers, okay? And Ullmark is now going to be playing in front of an elite team, okay? Ullmark Gustafsson is now going to be playing in front of an elite team, an elite group of defensemen, an elite group. And I think his numbers are going to go. You would expect that he plays the way he did when he had his best players in Minnesota, right? Go back to what John Cooper said. A lot of times a goal is allowed. Three things happened before it that caused that. When you lose some of your best players, those three things happen more often, and it makes it more glaring for the goaltender. Makes it much harder. Canada's going to be great. We know that. They've got some elite skill. But Sweden's got – this is the best team Gustavsson is going to play in front of. They've got elite defensemen. They've got elite forwards. They need to be able to push the pace. I think Gustafsson's the right choice, and I think he's going to be good.
I think any of those goalies would be good because you talked about the defense. Like, you know, where we were yesterday was on the path on the way to the players getting their pictures taken before they went on the ice, their individual headshots. Ekholm walked by us, and I ran for cover.
He's a Viking, by the way.
Hedman walked by us.
He's also a Viking.
And I said hello, and then I ran for cover.
Monsters. Big dudes. Yeah.
big. Game face is already on.
Yep.
I really like their defense. Like,
yeah.
And you know, look, everybody has good defense, but Finland took a huge hit with Heiskanen out. The U.S. took a huge hit with Quinn Hughes out. We're going to get to that after these interviews. But the other defenses in this tournament are starting to leak a little bit of oil. Sweden isn't.
No. I mean, their defense, and I'll give it to you right now, and then we'll get to our interviews. Hedman and Brodin are the top pair, if you want to call that. Mattias Ekholm and Erik Karlsson are number two pair. Rasmus Dahlin and Gustav Forsling are the third pair. And it's likely that Rasmus Andersson won't play. And we did talk to Rasmus Andersson. I mean, Gustav Forsling's on your third pair. He's one of the best on puck on, you know, stick on puck defenders in the league. He might be the best stick on puck defender in the league, and he's on your third pair. Sweden's defense is really strong, and I think it's going to make their goaltending strong, and they're going to be a tough out in this tournament. They win it, I don't know, but I'll go back to what I originally said, Sean. I don't think they get enough credit.
Well, how could they?
Right.
All the air in the room is about Canada.
It's true. It's true. It is, but we are in Montreal, so you kind of understand it. Like you said, they like to play the villains. All right, we got two interviews with the Swedes. So let's go. We'll go with Adrian Kempe first. Adrian Kempe, the Los Angeles Kings forward. He joined us. Here's a couple of minutes with Adrian Kempe.
Adrian, thanks for joining us. We're here today, media day, practice day. Things start for real tomorrow. What's your excitement level?
Yeah, really high, obviously. I think... very excited to be here. You know, been kind of waiting for this for a couple of months. Obviously, don't try to think too much about it when you're playing during the regular season, obviously with your team and everything. But now, yeah, came by fast. We're here a couple of practice days, and now tomorrow game day. So, yeah, it's been going by fast. But I think everybody's excited. I'm really excited for this.
You say you don't want to think about it as it's going on, as your season's going on, which is totally understandable. But does your mind wander to it? Did it wander to it, you know, and did you have to catch yourself maybe at times?
I think when the team was announced, you was kind of the time where I started thinking a lot about it. You know, do you think about who you're going to play with, everything that goes around, you know, all the players. But then after that, I kind of stopped thinking about it for a little bit. It was more focused on the team and didn't really carry away too much about it. But then obviously when you get closer to it, then it kind of comes to your head again, you know, that you're getting closer, you know, everybody's going on the break and you're going to play again. So I think during the games I've been fine with it, but maybe during a regular day you think about it a little bit more for sure.
For Sweden, the ties that bind the players together here, does it make it easier when you come to a tournament like this because everybody knows each other? There's kind of an identity to how Sweden plays and all of that. Is it almost seamless?
Yeah, I think it helps a lot for sure. I think, you know, this is the first time I've been part of, you know, the best on best, but we come in here right away. Everybody knows each other pretty much. You hang out with the guys in the summer, you skate with them, you know them so well already. I think everybody pretty much knew everybody already. So there was just kind of that good chemistry right away. The first night we came in and, you know, hang out at dinner together, and it just feels like, yeah, a regular season when you go to dinner with the boys, it's kind of the same thing. You're just hanging out with your friends, catching up. Obviously, you don't see them too often. But, yeah, chemistry, I think it's been really good so far. I think we've seen it on the ice, but especially off the ice, too. I think the room chemistry is at some point.
Does that chemistry for you in a short tournament to have that now, I mean, can you place a value on that? And like you said, you can feel it already. So are you surprised that it came instantly like that?
No, not surprised. But obviously, like I said, first time for me being best on best. So you weren't sure how it's going to be when you come in and, you know, see all the guys at the same time. But I think, it didn't surprise me. But I think, it just kind of felt natural for everybody to come in and see you guys that you play with growing up in the national team, all that kind of stuff. So it's, I think it's a good thing. I think you're more comfortable around the guys. You're more comfortable on the ice with the guys around that you know, and you're, you know, it's easy to talk to, and everybody's talking to each other on the ice, I think, which is going to be, you know, really important here with, just all the kind of different system that goes in that you play and you come here and it's a new system. So communication is going to be key for sure.
Do you enjoy being the villain?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, yeah. I think it's, interesting and fun.
Yeah, because you're going to play Canada here and you're going to play the U.S. in Boston. Like, in each of those games, you're not only the underdog, but they want to see you fail.
Yeah, of course. And, you know, it's starting tomorrow. You know, this arena is usually really loud when you play the Canadians. So, I mean, I bet, you know, it's going to be packed. You know, it's everybody's going to want us to see us fail. So, we can take that as a little fuel for sure. I think we're confident in our team. You know, four great nations that are here, so it's gonna be some really good games. But I think, as an underdog too, I think it's fun to be out there as an underdog. Sometimes, obviously, it's nice to have the fans in the back when you're playing at home, all that kind of stuff. But there's no better feeling than to silence a different crowd.
Perfect. We'll end it right there. Thanks so much for joining us. All right.
Thank you very much.
Good stuff there from Adrian Kempe. And now we also caught up with Rasmus Anderson, who we think is going to be a healthy scratch for Sweden in their first game against Canada. But he's a character. He's got character. He is a character. He's terrific. And in this interview happened right after he was interviewed and given a little bit of a quiz. And he was asked about the Finnish flag. And his answer was terrific. So that tees it up a little bit. You got to listen for this because it really sets up the rivalry between Sweden and Finland and how these guys feel about the other country. I won't call it friendly. It is a real rivalry. There's respect, but it is a real rivalry. And Rasmus Anderson was able to touch on that. That's in this interview. And here it is. Rasmus, thanks for joining us. So, opportunity in front of you. Describe it. What does this mean for you? What does this mean for Sweden to be a part of this, potentially to win it?
It's exciting, right? And it's something you've been looking forward to, you know, kind of the whole season, and especially after you get named in it. And, you know, exciting to be here. And I think it means a lot to every player that's here. You know, unless you're, you know, one of the old guys, you haven't played best on best. And, which makes it even more exciting that it was so long ago. And so it's super exciting, and it will be a lot of fun.
Speaking of the old guys, what's it like being a defenseman on the same unit as Hedman and Carlson?
It's special, right? It's people you looked up to, especially growing up. And, you know, they're a hell of a players. And, you know, you learn something new from them every day.
This tournament, it's present. It's now. And it matters the most right now. 1 year from today, as we interviewed right now, is the start of the Olympic tournament. Does your mind wander to that? Now that you're wearing what you're wearing, the Swedish, the Tre Kronor, does your mind wander to that and say, hey, if I play well here, maybe I'm there?
Yes and no. I think the no, it's because we're here and it's so much going on when you're here. And, you know, the yes part is somewhere in the back of your head. You obviously think about it. And but, you know, you try to stay in the present and you're just so excited to finally be here. And as I said, you know, you've been looking forward to it for quite some time.
Is there a huge jump here, right? Like, you play in the NHL, it's the best league in the world, it's fast, it's furious, whatever you want to call it. Now you've distilled it down to 23 of the best players on each team. Like, when you went to practice the first 2 days, was there a step you had to make to keep up?
Yeah, especially the first practice, you know, you were like, you were almost caught looking around and just, Jesus, what a play. Oh, yeah, that's my guy. You know, you almost caught just standing there and looking around, and then you realize, oh, your guy's about to score or something. But, you know, that's what makes it so special, right? And, you know, the practices, the bonding outside and all of that. And, you know, you're just – it's going to be a great tournament. And, you know, I'm really excited to be here. And, you know, as a fan too, you know, watching the other games like U.S., Canada, like watching that game will be a lot of fun. And then, you know, playing in the games will be even more fun. But as a hockey fan, I just don't think, you know, it's about time if you're a fan to have something like this. And it's going to be a great tournament.
Describe the moment that for you when you got the call and you found out that you were going to be part of this.
Yeah, I had a text from Horny in the morning there. And, you know, I told my wife, I was like, it's got to be a little early for the you know, he's like, call me when you can. And I was like, okay. You know, I went down. I always drop my little guy off before I go drive to practice. I walked down. I was like, that's what I got. 7:30, but I got to drive him right now. I got to find out what he wants. And, you know, he called me and, you know, ended up talking for a few minutes. And, you know, it was such an exciting time, right? And it felt rewarding in a way. And you know, called my wife and then my parents. And but, you know, it was kind of tricky keeping it on the down low for so long. And guess, was it December 2nd they announced it? And, you know, I found out November 19th. So I had to keep it to myself for quite some time. And that was tough. But, yeah, super proud.
Do you enjoy being the bad guy? This tournament's going to be all in North America, so everybody's going to be rooting against you. Do you enjoy that?
I love it. It's the best. That's, you know, I love to be hated.
Last one for you. I know you got to go. So we were just listening to another interview you did. You were asked to describe the Finnish flag. You said ugly. And you were asked about a celebrity in Finland. You said, do they have any other than hockey players? So tell us how you really feel.
That's how I feel. you know, it's we never liked them, and that's just the way it is. And, you know, I love rivalries, and so I hate Finland.
Thanks so much, man. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
All right, Sean. So that takes care of Canada-Sweden. We got U.S.-Finland. Team USA against Finland Thursday night. That's when those two will be playing their first game. The Finns, you touched on it before, have just been decimated by injuries on the back end. Quinn Hughes not being here is a huge, huge loss for the Americans, right?
It is. And by the way, congratulations, Dan. Your introduction of Rasmus Andersson by saying he's a character and he has character. I heard that somewhere else today.
I stole it directly from John Cooper this morning.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thought of it as I was speaking. It was a great line. And listen,
so you just appropriated it.
I John Cooper is one of the best in a press conference setting to talk to. And if I'm going to steal, I'm going to steal from the best. And okay. I stole it directly from him.
And yes, the loss
I've never
is for...
stolen anything from you, John.
Well, no, why would you? I'm just riding your coattails. Why would you steal from me? But both teams are decimated on the defense, right? Like,
well, I mean, Finland's more decimated on the defense.
Yes, Finland is more decimated. They're so decimated that Tom Galitti was at their practice today. They practiced in Broussard while the morning skates were going on at the Bell Center. Their first power play, nowhere near Canada's, by the way. Not even close, but who could be? Five forwards. They don't even have a defenseman that can play. Barkov is the point man on their power play. So that's where their defense is at. Quinn Hughes, huge, huge loss for the Americans. And before we get to Kyle Connor, I want to touch on a piece of reporting that you did yesterday that was so heartwarming. I was going to say brilliant, but the idea was brilliant. Your execution of it was pretty good. Guy Gaudreau was here yesterday. He helped run practice. They had dinner on Monday night. I have to think about my days. We're like day three into this tournament. I don't know what day it is. I just know that we're going to get a lot of snow over the next 4 days.
That's coming. But Guy Gaudreau, yes. Guy Gaudreau.
Close to 2 feet. So Guy Gaudreau, Mike Madonna, Mike Ruzioni, and
Rob
McClanahan. We're all invited to dinner Monday with the team. They all talked about the miracle on ice, talked about the 96 World Cup, all of that. Guy Gaudreau helped run practice on Tuesday, and they have a banner up in the locker room to memorialize Johnny Gaudreau. And it's such a powerful thing. Like, Johnny would have been here. He's such a big part of their program, their fraternity, right? That fraternity that's gone through the national team developmental program. Those guys are so tight. All three captains and alternate captains played on the same national team developmental program, that two-year run through 17, 18 World Juniors. They were all on the same team. Johnny's a part of that fraternity. He's missed desperately. And it's going to motivate them.
Well, you're right, 100%. Guy Gaudreau, not only was Guy Gaudreau invited to dinner on Monday night, and invited by the coaches to be on the ice for practice, he was invited to be in the team picture. And that's the thing that got to him most. And I was able to talk to Guy Gaudreau. It was myself and Steve Wino from the Associated Press. We were able to get, you know, talk to him after their practice on Tuesday. And that was the thing. He said he called his wife after that, and he said, do you believe they wanted me in the team picture? And he's here representing his son, who should be here, who would have been here. He was also in the picture that they took with all the Boston College alums. Johnny obviously was a Boston College alum. Noah Hanifin was in that picture. Matt Boldy was in that picture. Chris Kreider, Billy Guerin, and Guy Gaudreau. It's powerful stuff, as you said, Sean. It really is. They have a jersey, Johnny Gaudreau, number 13, hanging in the room. Next to it is a flag with the USA Hockey Shield, and under the shield is Gaudreau 13. You know, he's right in their hearts. He's very near. That's what Charlie McAvoy said. You know, it's a friendly reminder, but we all know he's very near. I talked to Vincent Trocheck about it. I said, has it been brought up? Has the words been uttered, like, let's go win this thing for Johnny and Matthew? And he said, countless times. Like, I said, who said it? He goes, everyone. Like, Billy set the tone. Bill Guerin set the tone. But everyone's saying it. There's power in this. And listen, you're not going to trivialize what happened to these guys, right? It's just awful. But the hockey world has rallied around the Gaudreau family, and USA Hockey in particular has done that. And to have him here, it's just powerful all over the place. It's powerful messages to these guys. And Matt Boldy, I thought, might have said it the best. He said, it puts everything into perspective, and it makes you say, let's just go out there and let's do our job and let's have a blast doing it, because you don't know, right? And it really is. So I'm glad you brought it up. It's stories on NHL.com, the picture of the jersey hanging in the room, and the USA hockey flag is there too. They're not sure when they move, if they get the big dressing room, the Canadiens dressing room at Bell Center, they're not sure that they may have room to put that in its own stall. So Johnny would have his own stall with that jersey. Right now it's hanging on a wall because they've had the small visitors rooms and whatnot, and they haven't had space. In fact, in the U.S. room at practice yesterday, they had the goalies change in a different room. There was no room for the goaltenders even, right? But it's there. The message is there. It's very, very powerful stuff. And it's a driving force for this team.
Dude, you did your best Ansel Adams taking that photo. I mean, you just framed it. Everything, the hues, the colors. My wife's a photographer, and she was like, did Dan really take that picture?
That's right. Yeah. Took that picture right on my phone.
Yeah. Snap. One shot. Snap. Dan.
Yep. But you listen, go in all there and joking, get a picture? Sure. Let's go.
All joking aside, before we move on to the interview, you got to – John Tortorella takes so much stick for who he is, from fans, only see one side of him. The way that he's treated Guy Gaudreau is a lesson in humanity for all of us. He has honored the memory of the Gaudreaus and welcomed Guy into their family, the hockey family, without making it a show. Like, it's genuine. He belongs there, and he's treated as somebody who's a part of it. It's not for show. It's not pity. It's none of that. It has been handled so beautifully that more than anything is what John Tortorella should be remembered for. Just my two cents.
Yeah, and the other thing about it too, Sean, before we get to Kyle Connor, is that picture, USA Hockey posted a picture on social media of that dinner, right, Monday night. None of us knew that. Nobody knew that was happening. They did, obviously. But nobody really knew. Nobody knew that this was happening until that picture was posted. So it's posted there to let people know it's happening, but it's not for show, like you said. This is genuine. This is real. And Bill Guerin talked about the importance of also not just having Guy Gaudreau there, but having McClanahan and Eruzioni, who were part of the 1980 team. Eruzioni scored the most important goal in USA hockey history, right? And also having Mike Modano there, Hall of Famer, 96 World Cup team. And he talked about how these guys are the current team, but you've got to know about the path that was laid for you, the history. How did this happen to where you could get to this point? And those guys were able to, you know, deliver some of that. I talked to Mike Modano about it. He said it was a great night to, you know, tell stories, tell these guys, wish them good luck, but meet guys and all this stuff. And by the way, Mike Modano said he was blown away by the size of some of these guys. He goes, I know I played the game. He goes, but I met Jack Eichel for the first time. And like, that's a big man, right? Like, you know, he was blown away. And this is a Hockey Hall of Famer. So USA Hockey has a lot of this stuff going on. And I think it's all real and it's all genuine and it's all good. Now they got to put it on the ice against Finland, right? I mean, that's the thing. Now they got to make it count.
And Kyle Connor talked about it too, and he talked about how important each one of those people were in his life, right? He wasn't around for 1980. He learned about it from Miracle, the movie. Yep. But he knows who the Eruzioni and McClanahan are, and he loved talking to them about it. And Mike Modano was his guy, and he's going to explain why in this interview. So let's get to it.
Kyle, thanks so much for joining us. So now you guys are getting set here as we speak to you on Media Day Tuesday. I wonder if you could just speak to the opportunity and what this means here at the Four Nations Faceoff for USA Hockey to and your generation to start something big with a win here.
Yeah, I couldn't be more excited. It's a really good opportunity. Just, you know, we've heard it said, we've wanted this for a long time. The player is the best on best, and we grew up watching all those, you know, the 2010 Olympics, all those games, 2014, and now it's kind of our turn. You know, we had dinner the other night and talking to a lot of different generations of USA Hockey players, and you know, just putting that connection. And you know, for us in this generation, I think we're so excited, and this group is. It's fun because it's, you know a lot of guys from either growing up or just going through the ranks. And it seems like it's a very similar age group, and you can lean on each other. That chemistry is huge in a tournament like this to be able to come together and just beyond thrilled and motivated. Like, we're coming in here to win, and I think, you know, that's the bottom line, and everybody's in the back of their mind.
You mentioned dinner last night. There was an all-star cast there, right? Eruzioni, McClanahan, Modano, a bunch of guys. Well, what was that like? I mean, those are all for your generation. Those are all heroes, whether it was in person or through the movie Miracle.
Right. Yeah. I mean, we all know who Mikey Rizzioni is, right? Watching that one, like, it's surreal. That's the first time I met him. So it was cool. And like you said, watching Miracle, I remember going to the movie theaters with the old man and watching that one. And it just comes full circle, and it just makes you feel so connected to USA Hockey. And it's so cool that they brought those guys in. And you know, he was super excited too. He was telling us that his 9-year-old grandson was, you know, hey, you get to meet Austin Matthews, you get to meet, you know. So it's cool to see that come around, and that he's, you know, such a fan of our game as well. And obviously Mike Modano, being from Michigan, he had a huge impact on a couple of the guys, especially me and a couple other Michigan guys, and got to chat with him. And it's cool. They get to share their experiences. You get to meet them on a personal level, and you know, they're here to support us, and they obviously bleed red, white, and blue, and it was cool.
The difference, I think, though, is in 1980, no one saw them coming, right? That was an upset. We obviously one of the greatest upset in sports. Modano was on the 96 World Cup team, and that team wasn't supposed to win that tournament. They were really good, but that was Canada's tournament to win, and the U.S. won. Now you guys are, favorite or whatever you want to call it, but there's an expectation that the U.S. is going to come through, not just here, but in the Olympics a year from now. Is there pressure associated with that? You are the next generation, but now there's expectations too.
Yeah. I mean, pressure is a good thing, I think, especially in
type of competitive athletes we are. We relish in it. We love it. We want to be able to be put in that situation where you have pressure on you, and you know, whether it's you want to be in that big moment in a game seven or a tournament like this. And I think to be able to work hard, and you know, you speaking to it, those guys of the earlier generation kind of paved the way for us. And you can kind of see the USA Hockey, you know, just how that branched out and into minor hockey, and the development of, you know, the skill that this country has is you know, right up there with Canada. You used to not be able to say that, and it's exciting. I'm, you know, really honored to be a part of it, and it's coming to a tournament like this. You know, yeah, the expectation is to win for sure.
I want to take you all the way back to Pee Wee Bantam age. You played for Beltire. A couple other guys on this team played with you. You were right up the road here, what, 15 years ago for the Pee Wee tournament? Mm-hmm. When you were with those guys, was there ever a conversation about that this was the future?
No. I mean, I wish, yeah, I don't think you could have predicted anything like that. You're kids, you're playing, you're having a ton of fun, you're pushing each other, and we had some good teams there, but you could never predict something like that. You know, Dylan Larkin's going to become the captain of the Red Wings, and, you know, I'm going to, you know, turn in and even make pro. Like, that's never at the back of your mind. And you're just working, and you're trying to improve and push each other. And, you know, it's awesome to see. It's I love how we all come back to the same spot in the summer, and the skates are incredible. And there's a really good group of Michigan guys there, and, you know, Michigan Wolverine alum too, and not just the Beltire guys. You know, it branches out throughout there. And, you know, it's fun. Everybody's kind of taking that next step in their lives too, getting married or having kids, and it's cool to see everybody grow up and, you know, kind of take that next step.
Is there chemistry right away? Could you feel the chemistry right away when you guys got together here on Monday and your first practice, and then today, Tuesday? Just, is it instant?
I think it's something you have to work on. You know, I played with Zach at Michigan. You know, he ran the power play. We were working up there a little bit. I mean, there's a little bit of cues, but I mean, games are changing so much. I think you have to work on chemistry nowadays. It's not something that, you know, hey, me and you are best buddies. That's, you know, we're gonna know what each other are. It's, you got to work on it. Teams are adjusting to, you know, defensively and how you're playing. So you got to be able to adjust your game too, and you got to be dynamic. And that's how I always feel with chemistry. It's a constant building of knowing where each other are and being able to read off each other well.
One last one before I let you go. It's a short tournament. You don't have time to work on chemistry. So what does that mean for this tournament?
Yeah, that means grabbing the guy next to you, grabbing someone you don't know, go have dinner, have that conversation. I think USA Hockey's done a great job to, you know, just over the years of tournaments and, you know, with NCDP and just, you know, a lot of minor hockey tournaments and everybody that you kind of know who each other are. But at the same time, you got to create those relationships and come together as a team. And there's almost a little bit of, you know, that awkward feeling before that first practice. And once you get in a routine, it's, you know, guys are right back into it. It's, you know, we all kind of do the same thing with our clubs and, you know, joking around in the locker room. And it was good to kind of get that first practice out of the way and, you know, looking forward to the game. But like you said, it's got to come quick.
Appreciate it, man. Thanks so much. Good luck in this. All right.
Thank you.
That interview with Kyle Connor, as were the other interviews with Shea Theodore and Rasmus Anderson and Adrian Kempe, all brought to you by Skip. Skip to the good part and get groceries, meals, and essentials delivered right to your door on Skip. All right, Sean, quick final thoughts before we get out of here and we get this tournament started. Prediction. How about a prediction, Sean? Who wins?
Pain. That's my prediction.
All right.
No, I picked the Americans to win. I think it's their time. I think they've been building to this forever. They're not intimidated. Like, I think that's the biggest thing that's happened in the last 10 years. Like, even in 96, right, I covered that tournament. Nobody expected the Americans to win. And you look back on you talked about Madonna and Billy Guerin's running this team. He was a part of that team, and Richter was the goalie. And, you know, there were a lot of guys on that team, you know, Tkachuk's dad was on that team. They weren't afraid of anybody. Darian Hatcher. Like, they weren't afraid of Canada. And they came here and they beat them.
Yep.
To win the title. When they came to Montreal in that final, everybody's like, well, it's over. They're going to Montreal. And they laughed. Mm-hmm. Like, we're not afraid. And that had never happened before for the Americans. Ever. Internationally, at every other level, the Americans have had so much success in the last 10 to 15 years, and all of these players on this roster have been architects of it, that they respect Canada, but they're not afraid of them. And I think that's a huge thing, because the skill level isn't different. The confidence has always been the tipping point for Canada. They're like the old Russians, right? They step on the ice and they got a one-goal lead because of their mystique. Not anymore.
Nope. I picked the U.S. over Canada in the final two. I had Jack Eichel as the tournament MVP and leading scorer. Connor Hellebuck is the top goalie. I think the U.S. is going to be able to transition well in this tournament. I think they're going to generate a lot of grade A opportunities in this tournament, and they're not going to be looking behind them either, because they trust the goalie that they have in net, who's been the best goalie in the National Hockey League this season, and for the past few seasons, he's been among the best goalies in the National Hockey League, and that's a huge factor. We talk about confidence. They're confident, and I think the confidence comes from the net out. There's a belief that their guy is better than the other guy, no matter who they play. And that matters. And I think that's why the U.S. wins it.
Well, we're in agreement, but we're both Americans. So what do we know?
What do we know? There's a little bias. But anyway,
the best part of all of this, it doesn't matter who wins. There's great games. There's a great game tonight. There's a great game tomorrow night. There's two great games on Saturday.
Yeah.
Then we're going to dig out from a lot of snow and try to get to Boston. Then there's two more great games midweek, and Monday. Then there's what will likely be an epic final on Thursday. It's a sprint. It's going to be fantastic, and if you want to watch it, ABC, ESPN family of networks, TNT, True TV, Max, and for our Canadian listeners, like Shea Theodore, which I never called him, Sportsnet and TVR.
Yep.
So tune in and see some of the best hockey that's going to be played in recent memory.
And don't count out the Finns. Don't count them out, Sean.
Dude, how many times have I been to Finland? Yeah. I covered the Finns in the 2016 World Cup of Hockey. I never count the Finns out, ever.
Don't do it. Exactly. Nobody should. They're going to give it a run here. This was fun. Podcast is always brought to you by Skip. Skip to the good part. Get groceries, meals, and essentials delivered right to your door on Skip. Enjoy the hockey.